Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Craig Svensson, and my task is in the next hour to turn you all into amateur pharmacologists. Obviously, not really, but I am going to talk to you about medication concepts that I trust that you will find relevant to your work as biblical counselors. Let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a member here at Faith Church. I'm involved in leading a number of small group Bible studies. I also serve as the wingman to my wife, who coordinates and serves as the liaison for our ministry to the homeless community in Greater Lafayette. I am a pharmacist scientist by training, and you can see from this first slide that I'm an academician, hold appointments at Purdue University and Indiana University. I have devoted my professional life to preparing the next generation of pharmacists, physicians, nurses, and physician assistants. My scholarship has focused in the area of adverse drug reactions and also the area of addiction and chronic illness. In fact, I think they have a book that I've written here on living with chronic illness up in display in the front. So I have focused on a lot of elements about pharmacology. And my objective really in this time is twofold. Number one, to help you as biblical counselors understand the effect of drugs on the brain and how that can impact your ability to counsel individuals and their ability to take, to receive, and act on that information. And then secondly, I want to give you some strategies that you can use to be able to enhance counseling in people who have cognitive impairment due to medications they may be taking. Now, let me start off by giving you a reason why you should pay attention for the next 45 minutes, because why is this relevant to you as biblical counselors? And it's really rooted in the prevalence of drug use. Now, I'm going to give you some statistics for the United States, because that's where we have the best data. If you're here from another country or you're watching online from another country, the exact numbers are going to be different for you, but the trends will be the same. What you can see from this first slide is this is the results of a series of surveys that have been taken over the years asking people a simple question. Have you used one or more prescription medications in the last 30 days? And if you look in the middle of the graph, you see the green line that's there? That's the average. So about 50% of all Americans have consumed a prescription drug sometime in the last 30 days. And if you can see, there's changes as a function of age. For example, at the very top line, those are people 60 or over. And probably not surprising to you that the overwhelming majority of people that are 60 and over have taken prescription medications in the last 30 days. In fact, they average 3 to 5 medications in the last 30 days. It might surprise you as those lower two lines, that's a pediatric population. 20 to 30% of all pediatric aged people have taken a prescription drug in the last 30 days. And then you add to that the use of over-the-counter medications, medications that you can purchase in a pharmacy without a prescription, or you might purchase them in a gas station, you might purchase them in a grocery store. 90% of Americans regularly consume these kind of medications. And then we can add to that illicit use drug. And this is a pie chart that just breaks down the illicit use of drugs in the United States. And this was data from 2018. And you see the biggest part of the pie? That's marijuana. Over 40 million people regularly use marijuana. And for 2020, that data appears to be close to 50 million people. Over 5 million use cocaine. And then you could add all these other drugs to that. So what does that mean? That means people that you will be counseling will often be taking drugs, either prescribed medications or recreational medications. And so the question that's relevant for you to ask is, how will that impact your ability to communicate biblical truth to them? How will it impact their ability to receive that truth, to assimilate that truth, and to act on that truth? And I hope to answer that for you in the time we have. But to do that, you need to understand a little bit about the dynamic interaction between the heart, the brain, and behavior. We are certainly more than our chemical selves. But it's also true that what goes on in the 3-pound organ in our skull has an impact on our heart and our behavior. There's a lot about that dynamic impact that we don't understand. But we need to recognize the interactions that do occur and how that can influence the work of the heart. And when I use the word heart, I'm using it in its biblical sense. And I believe that if you go through Scripture and you look at all the places that the heart is referred to, you will see that the heart is the seat of our affections. It's the source of our will. It's the site of our reasoning. It's the wellspring of our emotions. And it is the loci of our moral convictions. All of that makes up the heart. There is a sense in which the heart makes us who we are as individuals, right? And your work as biblical counselors is primarily focused on shaping the heart, transforming the heart. And you are well aware of the influences that change the heart. The heart is not only the source of sin, but it's molded by sin. And as such, it can also be deceived by sinners. But it's also true that we can use Scripture, the Word of God, to mold, to transform the heart, to renew the heart. The Spirit of the living God quickens the heart, awakens the heart, sensitizes the heart. It illuminates the heart. And the saints can help refresh the heart and encourage the heart. You know these things, and these are the things that you use as biblical counselors as you seek to help people be transformed, to understand the sufficiency of Scripture and to move in progressive sanctification. But in doing so, it's important to be aware of the other things that will influence the heart, particularly what's going on in the brain. And there are many things that can influence the brain. First and foremost is learning. The reality is that when you learn, there are biological changes that happen. Neuroscientists have uncovered a very fascinating web of networks that changes when you learn things. Like when you learn a new language or when you learn a new skill. And one of the things that we do in learning is we embed these networks so that many functions that we do become automatized. So if you stop and think about it, when you first learn how to drive, you have to really concentrate, don't you? Well, now it's kind of second nature to you. How come it's so easy now? Because you have embedded that, and it has become automatized. I presume most of you don't give a whole lot of thought while you brush your teeth. In fact, you're probably thinking about other things, like the stupid things you said or did that day, right? You're not thinking about side, top, side, middle. That's all automatic now, right? Because you have embedded networks in your brain, and that has become automatized. And that's what happens when you learn, and that's why habits are so hard to break, because so much of what we do day in and day out has become automatized, and our Creator has designed us that way so that we can do many things at once. Otherwise, we would be singularly focused and really would find it hard to function in our complex society. But when damage happens to the brain, those things become interfered with. So when people experience trauma, they can lose memories. They can find it hard to create new memories. They can find it hard to remember things that they once knew, to process information and to think in abstract ways. Disease can impact the brain. Many of you probably have experience of family members who have Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia, and you have watched the changes in them that have happened as that disease has progressed. And as a consequence, what you have seen is you have seen them slowly decline in their ability to think. You have seen their emotions change. You've seen personality change. You've seen that they respond to things differently now emotionally than they used to. And that's all part of the progression of dementia that is occurring. But it's also true that chemical changes that occur in the brain that are provoked by drugs or hormones can cause profound effects. I presume most of you had some kind of experience where you've taken either a prescription medication or you have taken an over-the-counter medication and it made you drowsy. You found it hard to concentrate on things. Chemical changes induced by drugs can have significant effects on your cognitive capacity, even when it's rather subtle effects. But so can hormones, whether you're talking about the emotional surges that happen in adolescence, or you're talking about the brain fog of